on in endless song, above earth's lamentation, I hear the clear, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. Finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? But through my joys and comforts die, I know my Savior liveth. What through the darkness gather round, songs in the night He giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine, since I am His. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Amen. Pray with me. Holy God, let your word go through this lectern and out into every heart, whatever each one needs to hear. Amen. One of the best things about being a lay speaker is that a person gets to choose all the favorite hymns and scriptures and quotes and topics one could possibly want. For example, the thought for meditation today, I had a lifelong quarrel with God, but we made up in the end. In trying to select the thought for meditation for today's bulletin, I came across quite a few that would do, but they all sounded so glib. There was Winston Churchill's, "When you're going through hell, keep going." "The time to be happy is now. The place to be happy is here. The way to be happy is to make someone so." Robert Ingersoll said that. Helen Keller's, "Life is full of hardship, it is also full of overcoming it. Yeah, that's good. What God wants for the world goes beyond whether we get rained on or not. That's from the Upper Room Daily Devotional Booklet. Then there was the scriptural, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it," presumably regardless of what it brings. That's closer to what I want to talk about. But I'm afraid of you asking yourselves, who does she think she is? She's never had a really bad thing happen to her in her whole life. She can't possibly know what it's like to actually suffer. I've been disgruntled. I've been inconvenienced. I've had my bicycle stolen, but I have not been defrauded of my life savings. I've been passed over for retention on the job because I wasn't one of the good old boys, but I have not been the victim of the brutal discrimination that some have experienced. The war and corruption have not yet been in my street, the genocide not aimed at me. I'm inland from the hurricanes. I'm uphill from the floods. How can I talk about suffering? Yet if I'm going to talk about this song Paul sang for us, I have to find a way. I finally settled on the Carlyle quotation because it describes so well my own relationship with God. We're not always on speaking terms, God and I. I'm not happy that we have to do all the work. I think God should step in and make everything right, but I guess that's not how it goes. That song has been a favorite of mine from the first time I ever heard it. It makes me hold my breath. United Methodists sing a lot. Mostly beautiful hymns. Methodism's founder was John Wesley, and he wrote a few. But his brother Charles must have thought in tunes because he wrote hundreds. Early on, Methodists became known as those people who bawl their theology. And music has always been a big part of our service of word and table. And anyone can write a poem and put it to an old drinking song. Anyone can express what they believe about God or Christ or scriptures or the church. You can. Robert Lowry, who wrote this, was the writer not only of this song, but of 500 others. I'm not exaggerating, 500. He published this one soon after the end of the Civil War when he was 43 years old. He always said he preferred preaching to songwriting, but I think he gives a pretty good sermon in this hymn. It is, after all, how we're all supposed to believe, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to be able to overcome any adversity, transcend any strife, allay any pain just by believing enough? Yeah, well, people have stayed away from churches in droves because that's what they were told there. I suppose many thought they didn't have sufficient belief, and so they didn't qualify. Or they decided they were being fed a bill of goods and weren't interested. Or their belief was tested beyond endurance and they felt betrayed. Lots of famous authors have addressed this topic. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, also wrote The Problem of Pain. He wrote very confidently about it and successfully debated it. But he changed his mind later. His confidence wavered when his beloved wife, Joy, died. And not quickly and easily, but slowly and dreadfully. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote, "When bad things happen to good people." It's got some good answers in it about this subject. But read it before you need it, because by the time you need it, you may find you can't concentrate. My point is that there's no should about belief, no should that heals and strengthens. There's no ought to that makes it actually possible. I took my thorny problem to my husband, Dennis, as I often do. And he simplified it for me, as he often does. He listened. And then he said, "It's what everybody wants." That's it. Well, at least that's part of it. "Though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth." We all want to be able to think like Lowry about life's troubles. Maybe that's what my heart finds so appealing about this song. It yearns to feel that way and to sing in spite of the wretched way people can treat each other and the horrible muddles the human family can get into. But we are in the midst of Earth's lamentation, not above it. How can I sing? Professor Claire Kinney gives a lecture course on Shakespeare's tragedies. In it, she says, "Shakespeare used soliloquies to have his main characters speak themselves into being, talk themselves into existence." Isn't that an idea? Make oneself known by dialoguing with oneself. Maybe we can use sacred music to sing our belief into being. If we sing it and think about what we're singing, and if it's really what we wish we could believe, maybe we can eventually discover the truth of it that's in that music. For ourselves. If we absorb it into our marrow, maybe we can eventually achieve some transcendence and be fortified and lifted up. Maybe we can be still and know that God is there. The peace of Christ is powerful. I also had trouble fixing on the scripture to build these words around. There's Psalm 90, there's passages in Job and Ecclesiastes, or Luke 6, where we're told how expansively God loves us. Or James, who says, "Faith without works is dead." My favorite, Isaiah 55, the Beatitudes. I finally settled on the psalm Jesus murmured from the cross. Not just the familiar part of it, but all the way to the end. Here's a condensation of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. I will tell your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you, and I shall live for you. Posterity will serve you, Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim your deliverance to a people yet unborn. There is another thing about song. They don't all have to be about how deeply we believe or about rejoicing, loving this day even though it's a tornado, or staying strong in the face of loss. The Psalms are songs, and Jesus was quoting one from the cross when he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" If I get up that close and personal with God, how can I keep from connecting? How can I keep from singing something? Well, Dennis's answer didn't entirely satisfy. There's that part of the refrain that says, "Love is Lord of heaven and earth," and that makes it all worth singing about. I asked my Bible study class, and considered their answers. Then I took it to Pastor Carey's pastor at the pub. Now there's a cool customer. She won't give you black and white, cut and dried answers. She just gives you more food for more thought. Here's what she told me. "Perhaps a big part of our faith journey might be deciding what it means for each of us that love is Lord of heaven and earth. A part of the faith journey is each of us deciding what we mean by love is Lord of heaven and earth." Well, that reminded me of Sister Soldier. She's a best-selling author and activist and lecturer, a young black woman who came up through the Brooklyn projects and mean streets. And here's her take on it after all that. "I finally figured out to love myself, to understand my value and my power, to please God, I must add to the good in the world and not the evil." That could have been another thought for meditation. So, I concluded this. Keep your hands free while you're waiting to get it all figured out. And keep your voice free to be busy in the meantime on behalf of a troubled world. What you believe about God will probably change more than once over time. You'll sing different songs, but don't stop singing. Do all the good you can as an act of worship. Alleviate all the misery you can as an act of worship. Live appreciatively. Sing all kinds of songs just because you can't help yourself. And hopefully, if like me, you and God are quarreling, you'll make up in the end and be in two-part harmony. Amen.